Hello and welcome to another episode of the CG Garage. This is episode number 304 featuring Shannon Wiggins, Director of Placement and Alumni Relations at Noman School of Visual Effects. Shannon is a great person, and yes, I did work with Shannon at Digital Domain, believe it or not. It's a small industry and really cool stuff. There's a lot of stuff that she covers in this podcast, Kristen, right? And it's really good information. Right? Tell us a little bit about your thoughts about it.
Well, like, if you need recruiting advice, listen to this podcast and then go to Shannon. Like, it's like a wealth of knowledge. And, you know, she's been in the industry for over 20 years and worked at, like, DD, ILM, DreamWorks. So, you know, she knows what she's talking about. And they also, it said 97% placement rate from
that. That is insane. Yeah. That is insane. I mean, that's basically 97% of people that come out of Noman graduate with, you know, have jobs that are after they graduate. So those are really, really good numbers. And Shannon obviously has a lot to do with that because that is her main job at Noman, is to get people placed into good positions. And so she's able to do that. It is a really, really impressive number, 97%. So I was really impressed with that. And she, like you said, she has great advice, especially if you're creating your reel, what kind of work you're looking for. She's got her finger on the pulse. And, you know, a lot of people in the industry look to her to find the kind of talent that they're looking for. So it's really kind of cool to see that and to have that information on hand. I really liked having her on. Glad that she was able to do it. So this is really cool to have that. Again, really informative, especially for those of you who are looking for work and want to know what it's like or what you need to do to get into industry. So really cool to have that. All right. We do have some announcements coming up here. What's going on, Kristen?
Yeah. So you can find these out at chaosgroup.com/events. We have two V-Ray 5 for SketchUp events. One's on December 8th and one's on the 9th. So you can go to our website and check those out.
Yep, absolutely. And I do want to announce this. Another big thing that just happened recently is Vantage. First of all, it's two announcements in one. One is Vantage is out. And if you're wondering what Vantage is, it is now the name of what we used to call Project Lavina. Its official name of the product now is Chaos Vantage. And Vantage is basically our real-time, fully ray-traced ray tracer. So it is real-time ray tracing. And in order to sort of kick off this product, one of the things we decided to do is do a competition that you guys are going can work on and be part of. And it's called the Building Utopia Competition. And you can check it out at buildingutopia.cgarchitect.com. Yeah, we're working with CG Architect guys on there. We're also partnering with our good friends at Lenovo and NVIDIA and the Kitbash 3D guys as well. The Kitbash 3D guys provided a lot of the assets for this, including a good friend, Darren Butler, who created the starting point of this competition. So it's really cool to work with them on that and to check it out all out. So again, go to buildingutopia.cgarchitect.com. And check out Vantage. Vantage is actually available right now. You can download it. And for a limited time, it is free. So you can definitely do that as well. We have another couple of announcements. V-Ray 5 for SketchUp is out. And also, obviously, the V-Ray benchmark is also out. And we're starting to get some really interesting results there. That's the new benchmark. That's not the old benchmark with V-Ray Next. It's with V-Ray 5. So really cool to see some of that stuff. Again, remember, check out all that stuff at chaosgroup.com for all your details. All right, cool. Now, if you want to know more about the podcast, where can they go, Kristen?
So you can go to facebook.com/CG Garage Podcast or chaosgroup.com/CG Garage.
Perfect. And if you guys have more ideas of cool podcasts you'd like to hear or more guests you'd like to have, we've had some great suggestions in the past, so keep them coming. Email us, labs@chaosgroup.com. We'd love to hear from you as well as just, you know, saying hi and happy holidays. Obviously, Kristen and I, you can see from this video, you know, we're doing this in video form. You can see that we're in the festive holiday spirit. We've got Christmas trees and Christmas decorations.
Not planned.
Not planned. No, this is just this is just how we live. Kristen likes her decor. She likes her decor, which is really cool. Yeah, again, also, that's another reminder. These podcasts are also in video form, so you can go to YouTube and check them out over there. And you can also check them out on our Facebook page. Sometimes a video doesn't always work. So like my video may go out, but I think I have Shannon's is definitely on there, so you can check her out. I may not actually be on video because of some technical problems, but we're getting these fixed as we're going along. So remember also to rate us on Apple Podcasts if you can, and you'd leave us a review and a rating. That would be really much appreciated. That being said, please enjoy this awesome podcast with Shannon Wiggins from Noman School of Visual Effects.
Welcome to another CG Garage, where the chaos group talks. You'll know it's over when the last bucket drops. We're gonna fire off rays in high dynamic range. We know that ambient occlusion is passé. Global illumination won't lead you astray. And while image-based lighting is really swell, you need to make sure everything has Fernell.
So, Shannon, so you know that you and I worked together in the past, right?
We did.
Yes.
We probably
you and I were both on you and I were both on iRobot and Stealth.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
It goes back a
while.
Those
are the days. Yeah. I was just looking at my LinkedIn. I'm like, what do I have on LinkedIn nowadays? And I just was looking at that, iRobot and Stealth. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
iRobot was fun. Stealth was not as fun to me. But
right.
That was a different thing.
Let's go back
a little bit further and see, like, okay, what motivated you? Like, what were some of your inspirations? And then we can find out, like, the cross thing where we were there at DD at the same time, and then go back to what you're doing at Noman and all those wonderful things. So what sort of inspired you to want to be, like, in the world of visual effects and doing that kind of stuff?
Well, it goes way, way back. I actually grew up in Novato, which is a little bit north of San Francisco, and was a few miles away from Skywalker Ranch. So when I was in my youth, Lucasfilm actually displayed many, many things at the Marin County Fair. So I got excited even as a young kid seeing models of different crafts they had and how they did all the sound effects and how they did some of the early visual effects on that. So at that point, you know, I was just became obsessed with Star Wars and George Lucas and visual effects and how everything was moving forward. And right about the time I got out, I went to a college for film and television production. And right about the time I got out, I was right when Jurassic Park came out. So that was the next kind of big leap in visual effects. But once again, back to ILM again. So that's kind of what got me into it in the first place. And then I just ate it up. Everything film production wise, everything visual effects.
So how did you, what did you do to try to learn to do what you were doing?
So I got kind of the production background in college, but after college, I went to a small school to do, back then it was Softimage, which now everybody uses Maya, but I did a 10-week kind of quick learn of Softimage and jumped into the deep end on that. And then from that school, I came upon a contact that helped me get into my first studio through an internship. And just went from there, kept going.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, but there wasn't that many schools back then. It was kind of a rare, right?
No, and, this is
I remember at DD, most people. Yeah. I mean, this was pre Noman. Well, Noman was just kind of beginning around that time.
Right.
But, I mean, there wasn't that many options for that. And I remember at DD, like most of the people are like that either came from a different career, like architecture for me or had some, you know, I remember Matthew Butler was, you know, had a PhD in aeronautics from MIT had nothing. So I was like, you had these different careers. So it wasn't really like the opportunity to learn that specific task was really the only place to learn it was on the job, really. Right.
Absolutely. So yeah. And at my time at DD, that was where they launched Nuke back in the day. So that was my first learning experience there was on the job.
And
this was before it was a product that you could buy. This was when it was an internal product.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, I've told some of my students that I work with now that, you know, each company that I went to always had new software. So I was always learning, even though I knew the technique of how to do the job, I always had to learn new software. So I did that at each company.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true that sometimes learning a specific piece of software is not as useful as learning how to learn different pieces of software.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Problem solving.
Yeah. Okay. So you got more into 2D stuff when you were at DD, is that correct?
Right. So I started out, prior to DD, I was an intern at a little place called Vision Art. And they needed help in the rotoscope and paint department. So I started there. And then from there, I went to PDI, which got taken over by DreamWorks while I was there, actually. And then went over to DD after that. But I started in rotoscope and paint and then kind of moved my way up into compositing a little bit. And then made an even bigger jump into recruiting.
Okay, that's interesting. So that's interesting that you got into recruiting. I mean, I've had many conversations with Alex and his philosophy of Noman and that school and what it means. I actually, you know, through those discussions, I've always had a bit of a problem actually with for-profit schools and how they work. And I remember you and I actually having this conversation also at THU. And about what that means, because there's a lot of schools out there that are taking advantage of students and making promises that they can't keep, right? Mm-hmm. Mostly that they, you know, you say, oh, you go to this school and then I'll get a job at Pixar, right? And that's the assumption that you're going to do that. And well, I don't know what to do with my life and I'm not good at anything, so I'll just go work at Pixar, which doesn't make any sense if you think about it. So there's a philosophy that Noman has in terms of how they actually, you know, Noman is a for-profit school, but there's a philosophy in terms of how they operate and the kind of students that they bring in that gives them a greater chance to get placed. And that job of them being placed into a school or into a good job comes from you.
Absolutely.
So what is that?
A lot of people I'm the end of the line.
Yeah. Exactly. So what does that mean for you? I mean, like, what is it? You know, tell me a little bit about that process. Let's say I'm a student and I'm lucky enough to get into Noman and to go through my process. And then I'm looking for my dream job and I come to you. How does that work?
In the placement office at the end of their time there, they spend usually the last two of their terms with us. And we go beyond, just giving them listings of jobs coming out. We sit with them and actually talk with them about interview skills, about negotiation, about what freelance is versus staff. We also sit with them as they're putting their demo reel together. Because we're talking to the studios all the time, we know what they're looking for. So we one-on-one with every student that comes out of Noman, which is more rare at bigger universities. Usually they have a career center that helps just a little bit. But for us, we really want to make sure they come out as a well-rounded person, well-rounded artist, be realistic as to what's happening out there right now. So we go into communication skills, we just want them to have all of the best work to put out in front of the industry. So their demo reel, their resume, their cover letter, all of that. And then we follow them as they're applying to studios. We make recommendations. We are able to give them contacts and help them get launched.
That's kind of awesome in a lot of ways. And I think, you know, it's very, it's very telling that you guys do that. Now, there's a, like you said, there's a lot more. I mean, I went to my regular liberal arts university. Yes, you're right. There was a career center, but it was mostly like, here's a bunch of recruiters and here yeah. is, here's a template for how to write a resume and good luck, you know, and that was about it. So there's a lot more specific targeting that you can help these people, you know, as they're coming through, like for example, a demo reel. Like, do you guys have, like, how do you train people to make a good demo reel or something that's going to work for them to get a job?
Well,
that's
going to be a challenge. Yeah, they all have, two demo reel classes over the course of two terms. So they're getting taught by an industry professional in that class. Uh-huh. So from the technical aspect, they're getting all of the information they need from that teacher, while also speaking to us. And then we kind of look at their demo reel from a recruiting perspective. And also both my associate director, Ben Johnson, also does the same thing as I do. And we both were artists in the industry before we were recruiting. So we can talk to the student from the artist perspective and from the recruiting perspective. So it's kind of a team between us and the education team.
Yeah.
The general portion. Yeah.
I mean, if you were going to give someone a hint like today or now, like, okay, what are some of the things that are important? Like, you know, you've got to have a set of, like, let's say three rules or five rules, or like some of those, like, these are the most important things you need to do. Like, what were some of the things you would say?
Some of the things, definitely, I know everybody's heard put your best work first, but when you're a student, you become very attached to all of your work.
Yes.
And so we have to sit with them at the end of their process and pick out, you know, these are the best three or four. And you want to put that out as a reel rather than your 16 pieces that you've worked on. We also currently are telling them, you know, hey, if you have any knowledge of Unreal, everybody is loving Unreal these days and virtual production. I'm just thinking of an FX artist I just spoke to on the phone, and he's a Houdini artist, but he has three shots in Houdini and one in Unreal. So it just gives them a little bit more range.
Right.
That's the other thing that we really stress with them is range. You know, as you're a junior artist, you want to show them, you know, the widest range of whatever your specialty is.
That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Because, you know, when, you know, back in the early days in the early 2000s, whatever, like the generalist idea was not necessarily something that was very attractive as it could possibly is today. I think people are more interested in generalists than they used to be back then. I mean, even modeling before is like, you were either a hard surface modeler or a cloth, yeah. You know, like you were, they were very, everyone was extremely specialized. Do you find that people are not recruiting that are more interested in generalists today than they've been in the past?
A little bit more, but even within, you know, like I spoke to an environment modeler yesterday, and even within something as narrow as environment modeling, I tell them to have range of do an interior, do an exterior, do right. things with different texture properties. So if you have a wooden house, then the next thing should be stone, or just enough so that you're able to get onto multiple productions. We get some folks that want to, you know, do sci-fi work, and they'll put all of their work into the sci-fi realm. And I kind of try to break them of that a little bit, so they have a little bit more chance once they're getting their first job.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. And I mean, okay. So obviously best work first. And the length of the reel is also good. Don't make a 17-minute reel.
Right. Right. Yeah. We tell them, you know, think of a commercial and how snappy it is and the pace at which that goes.
Right.
That's the attention you're going to get from a recruiter. That's all the time they have. And because both of us have been recruiters also, we know that. So we want them to show the most complex work first, the best work. And then if they want to show another skill, have that as the last shot on their reel. So if it's a modeler, but also knows lighting or effects or something like that, you can show that range, just show it at the end because you're your main thing that you're going for is modeling. So stick with that.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. I like that. I like that. And so do you also advise them, let's say someone is good at modeling and someone is good at lighting, like they've got two skill sets that they enjoy doing. Would they make two different reels? And then depending on what the job is for, they may actually put two different reels out there?
Not usually, at least from the students that I've had over the past 10 years.
Okay.
They usually will have, if they're going to do modeling, will be a model texture lighting reel kind of all together. Okay. The only time in which people split reels usually is if they're applying to something that's super stylized, like a Blizzard or a Riot, mm-hmm. something like that. And I tell them to make a stylized reel and make a more realistic reel for the 95% of the other places.
Right.
Just because I don't want them to get, put in the corner as a junior artist. You want to have the most possibilities out there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So another interesting, so you guys probably have, I know you have a lot of great relationships with the studios at this point, right? Because that's how you are able to do that. So do you have studios coming up to you? It's like, all right, I need 5 interns. Send me your best people. Is that how it works? Or like, how does that work? Let's say, Studio X or, whatever wants to have a bunch of your ILM or, whatever wants to have some interns. How do they go about that?
It's a mix of Den and my previous contacts from all of the studios that we've worked at.
Uh-huh.
He worked on the game side of things, and I work mainly in film and commercials. So we both mm-hmm. have kind of large networks from that. We also have a historical network from Noman being around for over 20 years now.
Yeah.
So people will just, they know Noman and they will call us up and say, hey, we like your students. We'd like to have them.
Right.
And then we also proactively go out and talk to new studios and we actually do that worldwide. So, a couple weeks ago I spoke to a game company in Australia. I've had folks in Singapore contact me. So all over the world. And we make sure to keep finding new contacts, new places, and they find us as well. So,
right. Yeah. So there is now a bigger network. I mean, obviously, Noman is in the United States and there's some Visual Effects here, but I'm sure there are places that are recruiting Noman students in Australia, like you said, and mm-hmm. in Europe as well. I'm sure there's some stuff in Europe. And
oh yeah, we've had students placed in the UK, in Sweden, Singapore, China, Japan.
That's pretty great.
India, I mean, all over the place. So.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just put it in perspective. About every year, how many students go through your department to get placed approximately?
Approximately somewhere between 100 and 130, I think it is right now.
Okay. And what's your percentage of finding jobs for these people?
Right now it's 97%. Yes.
That is stupendous. Those are very, very good placement percentages.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to feel proud about having all of those students come through and being positions that they want in that area.
Yeah. I mean, before I even started working at Noman, I looked at their website to see the quality of the students that were there. Mm-hmm. So it really does start at the beginning when we only accept a certain number of people that are qualified. And then from there, the instructors and the education department, they're all working in the industry as well. So they get them to a higher level. And then we kind of, at the end of the time they come into placement, we just polish their reel, make sure they know how to market themselves and be proud of their work and it all works together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really great. I'm sure it's been, a real challenge, obviously, to do that. And, these days I'm sure even more of a challenge trying to work from home and trying to get people hired and still work from home. Yep. How does that work? I mean, that's got to be really hard. I mean, going to do Zoom interviews. I mean, how's it been working for these kids?
It's still working. I mean, our name goes a long way and the quality of the student work goes a long way. It's a little bit slower than it has been in the past, but we're still placing people each week. So, we just kind of tweak our communication skills talk. We make sure to talk with all of the students over Zoom multiple times ourselves, so they can get comfortable in talking to somebody. Right. We give them mock interviews. We used to do that in class, but now we do it, you know, over Zoom.
Yeah.
So they're still prepared. It's just a different way. Now that the studios have been working remote for a while, they're a lot more open to taking on junior artists. Right. When COVID started, it was a little bit tricky just because people hadn't set up their departments all right. online yet. So they're busy doing that. But now, I mean, we're still placing people. It's a little bit different. And I also have to, you know, talk a little bit more to the recruiters and say, you know, these people are ready to go. Don't worry about it. They'll be
right.
They'll be good to go, because sometimes junior artists are not. But yeah. At Noman, they're trained really well across all the parts of production, so they're ready to go.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I've had my fair share of Noman students that have come through, and they're always well more very experienced and ready to go, like you said. I've always been very impressed. Now, you mentioned, you know, prepping them with interview questions or doing mock interviews. What are some of the things that people get interviewed? Like, what's some of the things they should be prepared for? Like, what kind of questions are people asking these days?
Well, I tell them, first of all, know everything about your work and how you put your shot together and what you put it together with, why you picked that particular shot, what the story behind that shot is, because they need to not be only ready for the interview with the recruiter, they need to be ready for the interview with the supervisor who right. knows what they're doing. I will sometimes throw them trick questions. I had an environment modeler. I threw her a trick question of, hey, you know, our studio is hiring, but we're only hiring character modelers right now. Would you be able to do that? And the first time around, she answered it, no, I'm an environment modeler. And I had to, you know, kind of teach her, hey, you know, you're a junior artist. You're a modeler. You can do this.
Yeah.
Keep yourself yeah. open to, you know, as many opportunities as possible. You know?
Yeah. So. And it's true. It's true. I mean, if that's the thing that they need to know, is that they've learned how to. If you go to a good school, you learn how to learn something and you can learn other things. It's not like you're set for one thing, right?
Exactly.
Especially as a junior, right? It's like, so that's an interesting thing.
Yeah. So I widen their view a little bit. So okay. You can do more than one thing. You can also do it in more than one industry. A lot of people come into the school, you know, I want to be in film or I want to be in games, but they don't think about virtual reality. We've had some people work at automotive companies and do automotive design mm-hmm. work and automotive VR work, medical animation, all of that kind of stuff. So right. I just try to widen their view again.
Are you guys, I'm actually curious. I mean, obviously you're, that's one of the cool things about what you're doing as well, is you get to know what kind of things people are actually looking for in terms of positions. And you mentioned earlier, you know, Unreal is like, this is a big thing. No Unreal. That's the number big thing that you'll need to know in 2020. Is it mainly because of virtual production? Is that one of the reasons, or are there other, what is driving the need for real time stuff right now?
I think it was going to come upon us anyhow, but I think that COVID accelerated it,
right.
Because now they don't need to necessarily go out to a location and shoot. They can actually create that in real time and project it behind the actors.
Yeah, but there's problems with that.
Yeah,
it's not this magic bullet that people think it is.
No. What's happening now in the, at least with the people that are talking to me about hiring the students, is they would like the knowledge that the students already have. They just want them to have a little bit more well-rounded knowledge of Unreal, just because they're still in the midst of moving their pipeline over that way. We have people at Gnomon that range from taking one class in Unreal to having a whole entire specialization in games. And they take four classes in Unreal. And we're going to be adding this coming term, I believe, a virtual production class, just to give them an overview of what is virtual production, how does it work.
Right.
So if they're in an interview and they're asked about it, they'll know what's going on.
Yeah. It's actually very old technology. I don't know if people realize that. Snow White was technically virtual production. It was just rotoscoping of real people. it's interesting. It's interesting that has become a class that you guys are doing and sort of looking into that as a process at Gnomon. I am curious, like you said, you're basically, as a recruiter, you have to have your finger on the pulse of what's out there, what's needed, what the demands are, and what the thing, what's going into this area, and being able to adapt your students to that, working from home, what that's going to be like.
Yeah.
And, or, learning new software that's going to be more in demand, like Unreal. Is there any other kind of things that you've noticed over how long you've been at Gnomon for a long time now?
10 years now.
10 years, right.
This year.
Yeah. So over those 10 years, you must have noticed certain big shifts and changes and demands that people have gone through. Obviously 2020 is worldwide a big change for everyone. But before that, what are some of the other interesting things that you've noticed over 10 years, the demands or what people are looking for in skill sets or specialties?
We actually, when I started, it was very generalist. A lot of people coming out as generalists or map painters, riggers, lighters, all of that. As the years have gone on, it's become a little more compartmentalized. So I get a lot of people asking me for a specific thing. They want an effects artist or an animator. And they don't necessarily always realize until I tell them that, our students are trained. Even if they're in the animation specialty, they're trained and have taken modeling classes and lighting and rigging and all of that. So, it's gotten a little more specialized. Beyond that, I think, games definitely exploded, I'd say. We always had people going into the game industry, but it exploded about 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
Where we started to become known for our model and specifically environment, prop modeling, character modeling.
Interesting.
Effects for games, that kind of stuff. So
yeah. How long, when did Gnomon start to have a game sort of focus in their education?
It's been about 3 years now.
Okay.
We initially always had a few classes in our curriculum that went over the game pipeline. But then I think it was about 3 years ago that we decided to have a game specialty. So they're very well steeped in that side of things.
Right. That's very, very interesting. And I think it's interesting that games are the way. Do you have more students now that are coming in and says, I want to be a game designer as opposed to working on feature films?
A little bit. I'd say it's pretty close. It's probably like 55%.
Really?
Games and 45% for film and commercial. The first year that they're there, we're teaching them all of the basics and kind of laying the groundwork for
either one,
more advanced classes. Yeah. So they really learned the whole thing, games, film, whatever. And then they specialize at the very end. So, Yeah, that's a couple of the things that I've seen. I've also seen it trend a little bit younger, just because we now have a bachelor's degree. They always had quality graduates and quality reels coming out, but every year it just jumps. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I also think it's interesting that people, you know, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced this as well. You've experienced this is that, you know, some student may come in saying, I want to be a filmmaker, but then suddenly discovered games and got really into that, or vice versa. Right. Does that happen a lot, or?
Yeah, I would say that between film and game, they actually, because they're trained on both sides, a lot of people don't make a decision to finally go games until maybe three terms before they finish.
Okay.
So yeah. And then even within that, a lot of people want to go into the cinematics within the games, which is, you know, film within a game.
Right.
So, no, they're pretty open, and I try to keep their mind open, as possible. Because once again, they're just starting in the industry, and you know, this is their time to try multiple places and multiple types of situations and then decide from there.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So also obviously, you know, because you've gotten all these great students and there's been so many great Noman graduates and alumni. So now do you spend a lot of time catching up or touching base with those alumni and seeing what they're up to and trying to get them to, you know, help your new students get to the next level, or how does that work? The relationships that you develop afterwards.
We actually have a person. I actually talk to the alumni quite a bit, but we actually have a person in our marketing department that specifically it's their job to talk with the alumni and the faculty at Noman and see what they're working on and what they're doing.
Sure.
Yeah, I have used alumni quite a bit. I mean, I have quite a few things to pick from. It's like I say, it takes a village sometimes to place people.
Sure.
But yeah, we definitely lean on the alumni. Somewhere like Disney, we have people that are now leads in different departments at Disney from 7 or 8 or 9 years ago at Noman, who have hired people, you know, 5 years out, and then they've hired the people that are 2 years out of school, and it just keeps kind of rolling forward with them. So that's a good example of that. I talk to the alumni, I talk to the faculty, because the faculty are all working, so they may be working somewhere where they need people, and who better than to get one of the people from your class that did a good job?
It's true. It's like a really good long interview process to actually see and try out your students. Like, yeah, no, that person's pretty good. I was teaching them. So that's actually really interesting. You obviously have, you know, do you guys also try to get your alumni to teach as well? I'm sure you must do that as well.
We do. They need to be out in the industry for 3 years before they can come back and teach with us.
Okay.
Just because we want them to have, you know, enough knowledge to turn around and teach somebody else.
Right.
But yeah, we have multiple alumni that are teaching with our school, and they've done an amazing job.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, I, you know, obviously I think Noman's got, you know, they're in the epicenter of some really great things going on. So interesting. The other thing, you know, you mentioned, obviously, the Unreal and the different actual tool sets that people are recruiting these days, or looking for. What about the kind of actual work that they're doing? Are you seeing a bigger demand in animation or their, you know, game stuff? Like where's the bigger job? I mean, obviously there's not a lot of live action going on at like being shot these days, but there's gotta be, like, you know, animation and games are still something that people can have a better ability to do at home right now. Is that sort of what you're seeing as well?
It's pretty much across the board. I'd say we get the most requests for the generalists, the model texture folks. That's the most requests coming right after
that. What area? What area? Though, are they going into animation or games? Or?
So we've had people go to the Disney's and the DreamWorks.
Right.
We've also had people going to the digital domains and, you know, places like MPC, all of that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a range. And then we also have people going into games. So right now I'd say it's, more heavily leaning actually to the film places that are looking. Which
interesting.
Is interesting because I would think it would be the games people.
Yeah.
Because they're continuing production no matter what. It's just a little bit ahead of the games. It's maybe, you know, 60% film and commercial I'm getting now and 40% for the game side.
And that's it. Like, are those studios in the United States or just all over the world mostly?
Primarily in Los Angeles and San Francisco. And then beyond that, we place some people in Seattle, Austin, New York. But for most of the people, their first jobs are in California first, unless they're unable to stay in the United States. And then we help them out in the world.
Yeah. I mean, do you get foreign students?
Do you get many foreign?
Okay.
We do.
So you get, I'm sure. So those students, like, do you help them? Like, let's say they're Swedish. Do you help them get a job in Sweden or do they want to, you know, be placed here? And like, for example, if you get foreign students and they want to work in the United States, do you help them with, here's what you need to do, get a work visa and all of that thing?
Yeah, a little bit. So during their time at Noman, they're allowed, for our 2-year program, they're allowed to stay in the United States for about 4 to 5 months afterwards.
Okay.
Through a program called OPT, which is optional practical training.
Okay.
Because that's a certificate and not a degree, they get a shorter time. If they're in the degree program, they get a different type of visa and are able to stay in the United States for a year after they finish school with us.
Okay.
So people do have a chance to work in the United States first. I will say that they're not great about giving work visas in the United States right now. Hopefully yep. that will change. But we're very upfront with them about it, and we help them in Europe, in Asia, wherever they're from, to help help them get a job there.
Oh, you're back. There was a little glitch there.
There we go.
You're good. Well, the good thing is that, it'll be good. So sorry, listeners.
Whoops.
It'll be good. All right. So you're able to place them in other countries as well, right?
I am. The latest one was in Spain. And prior to that, I think, was the UK and then Singapore. Deal with them quite a bit.
That's really great. Well, there's got to be a lot of interesting work going on around the world, and I'm just really wondering what do you think is going to happen? I mean, what are you preparing for? No one really knew 2020 was going to be what it was, but what are you preparing for, like, in the future? What do you think some of the trends are going to be that you're getting ready to help your students with get to that next point?
So going forward, we're definitely, you know, all of our education right now is online, obviously.
Right.
But we have it in real time. So the instructor is seeing them and speaking with them, and it's not a recorded class. And
right.
So we're preparing them to work that way as well. You know, the folks that are working remotely at the studios right now are teaching the classes also remotely. So they're giving insights to the students as they go along as to how to work remotely. We also have a class which teaches them how to deal with different levels of production artists. Because as a junior artist, you may be afraid to talk to the art director or visual effects supervisor. Right. And we kind of let them know the different levels of artists and where they can get their help. We also have kind of a, you know, now that we're all online, they can come back and ask some of our faculty as well if they're stuck on a shot. we've had people come back and ask faculty members, how do I do this particular thing?
Right.
So we're continually supporting them, even though they've graduated, and we're making sure that they know how to interact with people virtually. But these students are pretty driven, so they're used to working at the box all day long. So
yep.
they just keep going.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really interesting that they, that they're doing that. And I actually think that working from home will become more normal these days. And I think that even post pandemic, there's going to be a plenty of opportunity for people to work from home for a while. Do you think that's going to affect where people get hired or where they live? And be as, you know, they don't have to travel and be in a studio and they can just work from home.
Yeah. I've actually had that question from a couple of students. Because Los Angeles is expensive to live in,
right.
They've asked if, is it okay if I move back to Texas and try to find work from there? And at this point it is,
right.
I still am getting a little bit from the studios of, when this ends, we would love to have people back in the studio.
Right.
But I think that it's going to be a hybrid even after, this all comes to an end. And it's actually been good for some of our international students, because they're, all of the studios are more open to remote now. And so it used to be that, hey, you're not in our country right now, so we can't hire you to work on this project. But because the whole world is working remotely, they're more open to it now.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it becomes, I mean, when I was at DD was like, I was in a room with four people. I was the only American in that room. There was a lot. And that's the thing, right? If you're looking for the best CG artists in the world, many of them are going to live outside the United States. So you're going to have you're going to have to branch out and look at those visas, to see, or if you need a visa. But that's the thing that I think is interesting, is that you can still gain that skill set and don't have to deal with the challenge of getting a work visa, because a work visa is not cheap.
Right. And it's a little bit hard as a junior artist, just because, they only have so many work visas going around,
right.
And they usually save them for the leads and the senior artists. Every once in a while, we'll have somebody spend their training, the optional practical training time, that OPT time after Noman, at a studio for 6 months. And that studio will think, hey, we don't want to let this person go, and they'll go through with the work visa. So I've had that happen as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I think it's interesting that's, there's going to be new ways of looking at students and or workforce, and the ability to work remotely is going to become more possible. I think that certain kinds of tasks are going to be easier to do remotely than other tasks, though.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah, and you lose a little bit of the mentorship aspect. You can't lean over to somebody and say, hey, how do you do this particular thing?
Right.
It's a little bit more, you have to be a little bit more communicative. And the other thing that some of our students have learned is also, you have to be very timely on, if you're confused on what you need on a shot, or if you have a direction that is changing, you have to communicate very well at this point, because you want to make sure you're working on something that's going to get finaled eventually.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think that is something that you can't sort of walk behind someone's desk and say, hey, what are you working on?
Right.
It's not as easy, right? You have to consciously, I mean, that comes down to the people actually, that the supervisors have to be a lot more diligent about working with their students as well.
Right. So I feel lucky that they're trained the way that they are. They're used to kind of picking things up and troubleshooting. They did that when they were on campus in our labs. Many of them have told me through the pandemic here that they're thankful that they have more than one skill. because mm-hmm. they can kind of juggle a bunch of things at the same time, and it gets them kept at the studio longer.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. What is one of your favorite success stories of some of the people that you've put out there?
Well, yeah, there's one that you've probably seen on our site quite a bit, but I was there as he was going through school. Jay Machado is now a modeling supervisor at ILM and is working on The Mandalorian and the Razor Crest. And
nice.
He started at Noman as not knowing any 3D at all. Kind of came from an illustration background. And, you know, had just dabbled in some of the 3D software. And I watched him grow from, you know, modeling a candlestick in Maya to going all the way to creating an amazing hard surface reel at the end of his time.
Nice.
To working at some small studios for a little bit, and then working at Sony in the game side of things, and then going to ILM. So he's an amazing success story, going from no knowledge all the way up to leading the department for one of the biggest things right now. I also have another gal who was a kind of a behind the camera director's assistant type person.
Are you talking about Sonia?
Yeah. Yeah. She's
been on my podcast.
She's a definite success story. And
it was interesting because, you know, I remember her story where she was telling me that, like, she was an AD, she was an assistant director, as you said. And then she was like, there was a strike going on. It's like, I'm going to pick up something new. And she completely changed her career.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And she's another one that, you know, worked on television and then worked in film and now is working in games. So she's another one that's kind of popped between all of the different things.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because, you know, what's cool is that, you know, Noman is a school that is, you know, Sonia is very talented, obviously, you know, and she was very talented and knew a lot about filmmaking before she went to Noman, right? She didn't go like, oh, you know, she kind of knew what she's doing. So the fact that she, you know, she said, I'm going to go to Noman, that's a choice that she makes. That's obviously based on that talent as well. She's like going to maximize where she does. So I think that was really telling, you know, of what, where she did and why she went to that, you know, went to your school and discovered that. So those are some really great success stories, obviously, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's very exciting. Now, I mean, obviously, you know, there's so much more that we can, you know, talk about how people are dealing with online and everything else. But I mean, what are some of the other issues that you think people are struggling with right now? Obviously, you know, being online is kind of hard and recruiting online is hard. But what are some of the other big issues you think people are struggling with?
A couple. So technically, people are struggling with having to render their work, especially the students. We give them a little bit of help with that and some credits at some different rendering companies, but it's a little bit harder when you're not in a studio like atmosphere with a render farm.
So are they not able to use your render farm remotely from home?
We actually don't have a render farm for them. Okay. Right. So we, you know, we've got a lot of contacts at different companies that use render farms or are render farm, remote. So we open that all up to them, but that has been a little bit of a sticking point with some of the students. However, what I've told them is, you know, if you can learn to do how all of this on your own computer, you'll be able to do it. Lickety split when you're in a studio with a render farm. So it gives them a little bit more problem solving ability just by that. The other thing I've seen is people just not being sure of their work when I talk to them. because they're isolated from each other. They do have, you know, like Discord and different little groups that they're in. But, you know, I think a lot of people, me included, is, you know, it's a little bit strange to be in your house all the time and being separated. You know, part of this industry is about learning from other people who have done it before you and shortcuts that may help things go a little bit faster. So, you know, Noman has really tried to create, we still have our student council, we still have our clubs, we still have people coming in to talk from the industry to all of the students. So we're really trying to keep them connected still. But yeah, I have seen the connection issue and, you know, people, because they're working on their shots by themselves all the time, they just don't know, is this good enough? And
right.
So that's why we're there at the end of the process to kind of say, yeah, you know, you're at the right point. You need to tweak this one little thing, but you're doing great. And so we've now become kind of part placement and part life coach.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, especially as a student, you're probably very insecure and you want to make sure you need that feedback. And I guess it does get much harder to get feedback if you're sitting at home alone, you know? Yeah, that's really tough, really tough.
But yeah, we really try to keep in contact with everybody.
But are they remoting into computers at Noman as well to do some of their work? Or
no, actually, our IT department and tech department was amazing. They turned everything around within a couple of weeks of when the pandemic started happening. All of the computers that were in our labs have been loaned out to our students. So they're working on those. They're working on those same computers that they would have worked on at the school. You know, one day each term, we have some of the IT people go on campus, and everything is, you know, COVID friendly, but we let them use our software. You know, they get the remote software from us. They get the computer from us. So everything is ready to go.
So take it home with them, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good.
They're lucky.
Yeah, I know. But I know. I've been joking on the podcast, but we have a flame in my bedroom right now because my wife's a flame artist.
So, I love it.
So it's kind of funny to have that going on. Well, listen, this has been really interesting and really cool. I really appreciate you coming on and telling us about that process. I'm just absolutely flabbergasted, and so it's so cool you have a 97 percentile placement rate. That is a proof that you're doing both a fantastic job with these students and a fantastic job of keeping the relationship open with the industry and doing that. So I'm sure Alex is very, very proud of all the amazing work that you guys have been doing. So
thank you.
Yeah, you guys should be very proud. And hopefully one day we will all be able to get back together at the THU or something to be able to
see
each
other. That would be amazing.
I know. But it would be great. I don't feel comfortable getting on an airplane anytime soon, but at some point I'm hoping I will be.
But I will say it's allowed me to kind of go into more virtual conferences and listen to more of the information from them. Because usually when I'm at THU or I'm at a VU conference or FMX or something like that,
right,
I can hit up three or four or five things. But this time, you know, now it's nice. I can sit here and learn from all of it.
Yeah, it's true. It's been really, it's been really great to have a lot more opportunities to talk, to listen to people from around the world, just, you know, through these virtual conferences. And you can hop in and out and it's fine, you know, and you learn as you go. So it's really great.
Yeah, and I still am an artist at heart, even though I'm now in kind of like recruiting and placement land. You know, I'd still work on art as well. So.
Oh yeah. What do you do?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've actually, now that we were talking about Unreal, I've been dabbling a bit in trying to learn that.
Nice.
So yeah, I try to do a little bit of that. I would love to take our sculpture class at Noman. Haven't been able to do that quite yet, but that's on my bucket list. So
nice.
Just keeping current with everything.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I've been to Noman a few times. You know, obviously you guys have a bunch of events there. And it was actually the Ian Spriggs exhibit was there.
Oh, yeah.
And I brought my kids to go see him as well. And they were wandering around. They're like, the sculpture room was like, oh, it was so cool. You know, they could see all these sculptures everywhere. And I think that really kind of got them excited was the smell, because the sculpture room's got that clay smell. And so it was kind of nice. It's a really cool school, and, you know, right there in the heart of Hollywood. So it's a lot of fun to be around there. For sure.
Yeah, and amazingly, we're still running all our sculpture classes. We're still running our life drawing and all of that. It's a little bit different, but we still have it rolling, so they can get that experience.
That's pretty great. That's really great. I'm very impressed. Yeah, I'm really impressed. And that's got to be really hard to do that. But, you know, the fact that you guys are still operating, are still going, and you're still placing people into these great positions is really, really cool as well. But okay, one last question. Sorry.
No problem.
Because now all these students have to work remotely, can you now start to accept students from other locations?
And they don't have to travel to LA?
Yeah.
So we've had a few students that we've accepted that I believe live in Asia. And, you know, they need to do them on our class times. So it's a little bit strange. They're doing it at a strange hour. But yeah, we fully encourage them to start online. And then whenever we're allowed to go back on campus, they'll, of course, be able to do that. But we've kept up the numbers of students coming in throughout this whole process, which is amazing. So big props to our education team for retraining all of the faculty on how to teach remotely and teach online, and the IT department. You know, they help all of the students as they're having any issues at home. They're able to remote into their computers and help them. And we've had people from all over the world actually starting our programs throughout this time. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, cool. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Shannon. I really appreciate all of that information. It's really interesting what you guys are doing. Like I said, congratulations on your great success that you guys have had. And we'll be able to get together at some point soon.
That would be amazing. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.